Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
McCoy got the dunkity, I bingo! The dunk slides through the ball. Charlie Curnow with the crumb, the spin, the goal, and the brilliant Charlie.
And go, they go! Goal, goal, goal!
This is the Untitled Carlton Pod with Paul Sebastiani
and Nick Negropontis.
He's played a hell of a game. Can he cap it off with this and put the Blues back in front? Or will it be tomorrow's talking point? He's kicked a goal! McKay stands up as the football world held its breath and Carlton lead by a point. He's got three.
Yes, he did have three, and I think that's put a big smile on a lot of Carlton supporters' faces. It is the Untitled Blues Podcast here on SEN. Paul Sebastiani is my name. Nick Negropontis is in studio. Nick, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Paulie. I'm good. We've got a big guest with us.
We do have a very big guest, so we may as well just introduce him straight off the bat. The Carlton president has been good enough to take some time from his busy schedule to join us in studio. Luke, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, good to be here. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys.
What did you make of Friday night before we get into the cut and thrust of it?
Oh, it was just bloody brilliant, wasn't it? Like, to see the way in which the boys really sort of dug in the second part of the second quarter. I think the momentum started to shift and they kept powering from there. Probably the biggest like from my perspective was actually how calm they were. Through the third quarter and the fourth quarter, I thought the leaders were calm and the whole team was calm, and whenever you get that calmness, oftentimes great things happen. So great start, but still, you know, it's a long season and need to keep working hard.
Absolutely.
You've seen a lot of us over the last decade in particular being on the board. I had this thought after the game that have we experienced our three best wins in a decade in a row? Sydney, Melbourne, then this? Is that a fair question?
Oh, I think is it a question or a statement?
Is that a fair statement?
I think it's a fair statement. I mean, you look at Sydney and then Melbourne and then this last win. You know, all heart stopping sort of games, but incredible pride and passion and energy once we got across the line. So I think it's a fair call out.
Yeah, the crowd factor as well up at the Gabba was being there. The Carlton crowd is, and you spoke about this, and Vossi speaks about this in a few emails that were sent out prior to the season beginning, how the competitive edge with the club is its people. And I think we saw that on Friday night. I don't know what you made of the crowd, but it just seems to be a massive factor for these boys and this football club.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, for Brisbane, in Brisbane, those Blues brothers, the turnout, like we've got even Robbie Williams, you know, calling him out and saying, I want one of those tops. Like, It's incredible. Yeah. I think there was 2,000-3,000 of the Blues brothers that turned up. They bring real energy and real passion. And also outside of the Blues brothers, the Carlton people, they're amazing. They're amazing when things are working. When they're not working, we all need to hang tough and come together as one. But it's a fan base which is just extraordinary. Yeah. And the boys love it. Yeah, they love it.
Opening round in general, obviously we were sort of the centre point of it with the big Friday night game. From your sort of sense as both part of an AFL board and also just like from your business sense, what did you make of opening round as a concept?
Yeah, look, one of the things that's sort of implicit in the role as a president of a club is kind of first and foremost you want to protect the interests of the club. Yeah, so my job and my role and the board's job is first and foremost Carlton. Mm-hmm. but also you're there as a collective of presidents working with the AFL Commission to further AFL mm-hmm. and to further AFL football and to grow the code and to make the code as spectacular as it possibly can be into the future. And so from time to time, there are difficulties or challenges in getting aligned around, okay, what may be right for Carlton may not be right for the AFL, or what may be right for the AFL may not be right for Carlton. And I think whenever you're in that, you have to balance both.
Of course.
It's fair to say that there was lots of conversations pre the season, pre the fixtures being locked down, around how do we make sure that if Carlton goes on the road for round zero, you know, what other things can we or should we be able to get later on in the year? And that is a conversation. The AFL were fantastic working with the big four Melbourne clubs through that. Now that it's said and done, we take the win.
It's
fantastic to have the win, you know, absolutely fantastic. And I think it's fair to say most people would say it was a success.
Yeah.
The numbers were up, and it was the right thing for the AFL. So coming through it, I think tick, right thing for Carlton, probably worth 8 points, mm-hmm. not four points, mm-hmm. and tick, right thing for the AFL and growing the game.
Yeah. You spoke about your role as president. I don't know if anybody's asked, what is the role of you as the Carlton president from a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year basis? What does the Carlton president do in that time frame? What does it all entail?
Look, it's probably a hard sort of question to answer.
Yeah. I think people have this idea of what they think it is.
Yeah, I mean, my philosophy, and I think each president and each CEO will kind of craft what works
for
them.
Of course, of course.
You know, Cookie and I have a very open and trusting relationship. You know, the way in which we've set things up at Carlton is kind of I'm responsible for the board.
Yes.
And making sure that the board works as efficiently and effectively as it can. Cookie is responsible for the day-to-day management. That's the CEO's role and responsibility. And obviously, you know, I would talk to Cookie once a day probably. And other people within management on various things that they want to bounce off me as the chair of the board. So there's kind of that's the way we line up at Carlton. And then the second piece is as a function of the AFL system, there's 18 presidents and a commission. We're heavily engaged with the commission around a whole slew of different things, from fixturing to rules to promotion to media to legal issues mm-hmm. that may be being navigated. And so there's obviously a heavy interface back into the AFL.
Is that a trial and error thing in terms of working out what the best structure is for you and the club to look like, sort of a day-to-day basis, week-to-week? You, as you said, you and Cookie talk every day. Obviously, the club has been through a period of pretty harsh instability for about a decade. And in the last 2 or 3 years, you, Cookie, Voss, things feel like they've settled and taken a deep breath at the club, and everyone seems to be on the same page. How have you sort of grown your style across your time on the board to create what we've got now?
Yeah, so I'm not sure it's a trial and error, but the board at most clubs is responsible for hiring the CEO mm-hmm. and hiring the coach. Okay, that's basically it, and then the CEO hires everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay, and obviously the board governs the club with regard to everything. So full sort of end-to-end governance role, but not management. The way in which Cookie and I have gone about it is very trust-based. Probably the governance board is focused more on the more medium to longer term, positioning of the club, list of the club, coaching of the club, etc. Cookie is more on the day-to-day or week-to-week. And obviously there's a whole slew of things that come up that impact both, and that's when Cookie and I will have a good chat and then figure out, is this a board-related thing that I need to get to work on? Is it management or is it somewhere in between? And then we go after the resolution of that issue.
I wanted to talk about just elite mindset in not just the actual sporting team itself, but the organisation as a whole and how that has changed from year to year to you being the president at the club and your tenure. I mean, I think people often look at, you know, I think fans, and we can all get sucked into the results-based analysis. How have you implemented performance-based analysis into the club, and how has that affected us, whether positively or negatively, whether that's through on-field and off-field as well. How have you seen that change over the last few years?
Yeah, look, the board's very focused on sort of what are the key performance indicators,
of course, yeah,
for the club,
yeah,
of which Brian and his team are responsible and accountable for delivering those key performance indicators. So whether that be revenue, whether it be profit, whether it be membership numbers, whether it be wins, whether it be playing finals or finishing top four, you know, there is a balanced scorecard which Brian and the team are responsible and accountable for. So it won't surprise you that the board meetings, when management come to present to the board, it's very focused on how we're going versus the KPIs.
Of course.
And what do we need to do to change it up or keep accelerating or whatever. And that's the way we've done it. Obviously, there's a blueprint over a 5-year period, which the club has put out. That was a fantastic sort of engagement process where we all engaged far and wide to get buy-in into what is that 5-year plan. And then we've all got to work on execution of that plan. So we've tried not to complicate it too much.
Yes.
We've tried to make it very trust-based.
Yep.
Because it's super important that the board has trust of management and the other way around. And when I say management, that means the footy department, that means the players, that means the coaches. There needs to be an absolute sort of, feeling of trust implicit in everything that's done. And so there's a lot of responsibility and accountability on the board, but also on management all the way through the organisation to make sure that we continue to invest in nurture the values-based approach that we want for the Carlton Footy Club. And it won't surprise you that the people that I've chosen and the board's chosen and Brian have chosen are people that are kind of high on humility, high on just playing our role, and high on the power of relationships, which then brings trust. It's not about sort of any one person or any of us.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, winning games of footy, playing finals, winning premierships, and continuing to move the Carlton Football Club into the future.
I think Cookie dubbed it KZN, the continuous improvement. I was listening to a podcast he had a couple of months ago, and KZN is the word that has come up, a bit of a Japanese word. I like the Japanese theme rolling through the club.
Yeah.
How tough is that in terms of, like, if you look back at just last year, and you've got such a dichotomy in terms of the middle of the year and then the second half of the year, and that sort of that trust you talk about and what you've built, and then you go, well, what's happening here? We've lost 8 of 9 games, and then it flips on a dime like that, and you win, you know, all the way through to being 5 goals up in a prelim. What goes through your mind in sort of that situation and going, how do we make this either more consistent, or what was missing that we then found, stuff like that?
Look, I don't want to go back sort of, you know, too much on last year.
Good, I like that. Good.
we've kind of moved forward, but I would say that I think the club learnt a lot through that, and inside the club, like, it was hard as hell for everyone, but there was a resilience, there was a calmness, there was a stick fat and trust thing that we'd work our way through it. Which probably wasn't echoed sort of outside the four walls. Mm. And so, you know, having got through that, we now line up for this year. I think we're much better on a number of different fronts to where we were last year. But as far as culture and as far as values and as far as stronger together as we go into this year, I think we're in a much, much, much better position. And you know, we come off Brisbane, we're all up and about, isn't it? Great. But in reality, kind of nothing's changed. Our goal this year is to be an awesome home and away, you know, team, which we didn't portray last year. We want to be consistent home and away team. We want to be an awesome home and away team. We haven't achieved that yet. And so we're just kind of head down, bum up, hungry, working hard, and you know, we want to make sure that we get that consistency throughout the season this year. difficulties will come.
Of course.
To just put it out there to all of our passionate Carlton people.
You mean we're not going to win every week?
Difficulties, challenges, we're not going to win it all. We're not just going to, you know, steam into the grand final and win by 10 goals.
Yes,
difficulties
will
come. And, you know, it's up to all of us.
Of course.
It's up to all of us to work our way through.
It is indeed. We know time is of the essence. We'll tick off a few little final things. Yeah. But there was a big announcement yesterday out the front of the MCG. The Great Southern Bank signing up.
How good.
It's a lifeblood of footy clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, so Great Southern Bank, awesome company. They've signed on for another 4 years. They do a power of work. I think they're doubling their investment around the women's program, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nigel Amphlour, who chairs the board there, Paul Lewis, who is the CEO, the culture, the values, the customer centricity, customer first sort of mindset really lines up to Carlton and what we're trying to do very well. So we're honoured to have them a part of us for the next 4 years.
Yeah, it seems as though there's a good sense of congruence about the two organisations.
Good work.
Now, we promised that one listener could send in a question, and we've picked one of them here from Lockie Joseph on Twitter. Just a nice, simple one. Obviously, Carlton has exploded in terms of fans and attendance and stuff in the last few years. Are we looking to move more towards playing more games at the G, more home games at the G as a part from playing at the Docklands?
Yeah, so we're always in conversations to try and move us to more games at the G. It's not as easy as kind of 1 year we're kind of playing here at Marvel and then next year we're at the G. But the aspiration is to try and move to one more sort of blockbuster game at the G in the next coming years, and we'll continue to work it from there. But I can guarantee you if the crowds keep coming like they're coming at the moment, it'll send a fantastic message to the AFL, and that will be very helpful. So the more everyone can keep supporting us and coming along to games, it does make a difference on game day, but also to the bigger strategic plan that we're obviously prosecuting.
One more thing just before we wrap up. A close friend of mine voice messaged me this. Terry Degani.
Good man. Very good man.
He said, you have to ask the Prez this. This is a bit of a personal one. He said, what have been your core life lessons to date?
Wow.
It's a real...
Thanks for that.
Deep, meaningful
easy,
question.
Yeah.
It's a real curveball to finish things up.
What are my core life
lessons? Whether it's in business or family or sport or footy, whatever it may be.
Got a number. One, adversity is really good for you. And I call that one out because... my second daughter has Down syndrome, and we remember the difficulties in the first month working through that, but the pure magic and joy and what it's brought to our family and us as humans sort of over the last 21 years. I say adversity hurts when it hits, but it's fantastic, and it's great for personal growth. Second one I'd call out is your work with a group of like-minded people through ups and downs and joys to create something special. And so whether it's in business or whether it's in team-based sport, pick the people you really enjoy and put them around you and set a big goal and bloody pin your ears back and work as a team to deliver that goal. And then the third thing is the power of people. Trust people more than you don't trust them. Coach them, empower them, nurture them. From time to time, obviously, everyone needs a bit of tough love and a bit of accountability. But there's more good, I believe, in people than bad. And so don't ever put ceilings on anyone.
I don't think we'll put a ceiling on this year either. I reckon that's a perfect way to end it. Luke, appreciate you giving us your time here on the Untitled Carlton podcast. I'm sure we'll be doing this sometime again in the future. And Pont and I are going to go through the game this week. How do you think we're going to go on Thursday night? You know what? I'll twist your arm. How are we going to go on Thursday?
Look, I think it's huge. Probably 90-odd thousand there. Carlton, Richmond. I think Richmond's bringing two or three back in.
Yeah.
Big stars coming back in. I think it's going to be very, very close. But if the boys can bring what they brought last week, be calm through the difficult periods of the match, then I'm anticipating we get up and it'll be a great start to the year. So feeling good about it.
Love it, Prez. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
So it was fantastic to have a chat just then to Carlton president Luke Sayers. He gave us some great insight.
How good was that?
That was fantastic.
That was fantastic.
He was very, very great to chat to and very, very forthright in his answers, which is great. And it's great to have a president who's willing to do these sort of things as well. I know it might be the... I mean, is it a prerequisite? Is it something that they should always be doing? Probably.
No,
but it's been a welcome change at the Carlton Football Club, Pont.
If you're the president of the Carlton Football Club, you can absolutely say no to requests like
of
this.
Of course you can.
He said yes. He said it despite not knowing what the result of Thursday night would be.
Correct.
We planned this well before that.
Yep.
So he was willing to come in, win, lose, or draw. I think that's fantastic.
Yep. Actually, I've got something to play for you off the top here. I've got something to play for you. Just for the sake of it, I'll say come by point.
You did call it.
You said I would be insufferable this week.
I did, and have you been?
You should see what I've been saying to a lot of people, mate. I've kept it quiet now.
Say it to the masses now.
I've been humble. No, I've been humble. What was that five-letter word that I told people to be? R-E-L-A-X.
But you know when it's easier to relax?
Relax.
When you've banked 4 points in your hardest match of the year.
Exactly right.
It makes it much easier.
There are two types of people, Pont. Two types of people. Those who guess and those who know. I fit the second category.
You did call one of these last year too. I can't remember when it was. Was it round one last year?
Oh, the draw.
The draw. You called the draw. That's right.
Greatest ping of all time.
Your opening round predictions have gone very well.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah, not too bad. We go okay.
Anyway,
Let's talk about the game. It is the best home and away game I've ever been to. It is the best comeback I've ever borne witness to. And it is arguably one of the best wins in the last 30 years for this club, just given the scenario, given the venue, given the team we're coming up against, given the start we had, given that Sam Doherty went off with an ACL, given that apparently Harry Mackay is no good. No Walsh, no Wiedering. We need to get Matthew Lloyd in. Damien Barrett had us written off. Gary Lyon had Harry Mackay moving to half back. Why do all these people, right, who have such stature in the game, have absolutely no idea when it comes to football? I'm serious. They have no idea. I'm sorry. They don't. They've got no idea. No one puts any time and effort into what they do anymore. They just come up with opinions on the fly. No evidence to back up any suggestion with which they come up with. Now I'm seeing Cornsey, right, and I'd love to get him onto one of our podcasts here. He's saying that they're going to stuff up Cripps with putting him in the ruck. How many ruck contests did he attend in the centre bounce? None. No, he attended a few around the grounds, which I actually like.
Yeah?
I like it.
That's something we can talk about. Maybe not. Well, let's get another round of sample.
I'm just sick of it. Anyway.
My worry with that is, and this is something that I noticed in the fourth quarter, and obviously result-dependent, you don't talk about it as much because you paper over the cracks a little bit, but De Koning looked gassed in the fourth quarter.
Like, good!
Completely gassed.
Good!
No, I mean like early in the fourth quarter, he came off for about 10 minutes there, and then in that 10 minutes, Cripps and Kennedy had to do the ruck work.
That's all right.
That 10 minutes I'm worried about because McInerney was in full control right up until those final or two stoppages in that fourth quarter. So. Yeah.
But okay, so
I am worried about that structure.
Yeah, yeah. So the other side of it would be that we have someone, we have a more mobile person across the stoppage.
No, I think the worry is, can you go forward with De Koning not being able to play half of the last quarter without giving up Harry as that forward option?
Because yeah, okay, yeah. That's a question.
You don't want necessarily to pull him out.
That's a question that the coaches need to figure out.
That is something that I'm putting aside. Obviously, I know you didn't want to necessarily. You weren't going ahead to talk about this specifically, but...
Go ahead. No,
yeah,
no, go,
that is go. Something that I took out of the game that concerned
me, okay.
But it's round zero.
Okay, so, and can we also put to bed the myth that Carlton's strength and conditioning department has no idea what they're doing? Can we finally put that to bed? 190 pressure rating through 3.5 quarters of football.
Yeah,
that is ridiculous.
No, I think there's no comment there. There's nothing to say there.
Sam Walsh, okay. Who else? Jack Silvani's an ACL. What can you do? And Sam Doherty, why'd they send him back out there? Let me tell you something about SNC. What they do is they do the ACL test. So they do a lax test, right? They'll do the test. They'll pin the fingers to the back of the knee. They'll test to see the joint. If there's range of motion there, if the pain's bearable, if they can put load on the knee, you're going back out there. They taped him up, probably jabbed him up. He probably took some painkillers, went back out there, committed some amazing defensive acts during that second term, pulled up a little bit sore after it, and they thought, okay, he's jarred his knee. It looked like that. Fair enough. He's okay. He wasn't writhing in agony. It looked very, very innocuous. They were happy for him to play on.
And this happens with ACLs. My brother tore his ACL.
It happens, mate.
My brother tore his ACL in June. Went yep. to saw it, see a doctor. He said, yep. don't run on it for 2 weeks.
Yep.
He played in our basketball grand final, got through the game, went and got an MRI. He has a torn ACL.
See, there you go.
So, like, this happens.
What do you do? But it's a brutal sport, right? Yep. So, and the fact that he's done them before means he's more prevalent, right? You're 10 times more likely to do it again, right? So those are the numbers. Anyway, the other thing I also wanted to say about Sam Doherty is that, and this might be a bit of, I don't know if it's a controversial opinion, but I actually think output-wise, I don't think we're going to be that bad off.
I didn't want to say it, but...
Yeah, no. I think we're starting to not move away from him. We're moving away from him. For me, I love him, but I think his output can be covered and replaced. I
agree.
You can't replace his experience and leadership. Having said that, we do get two blokes who are going to come back into the team that, from a leadership and experience point of view, mate, Wiedering and Walsh come back in. So you lose Doherty, Wiedering and Walsh come back in. You get your experience in the back line there. So I don't think we're going to lose a lot output-wise on the field with Sam Doherty going out.
I agree. And I didn't want to say it coming into the game because I didn't want to put that out there before the game.
No, it's okay.
My thought coming into the season was that Sam Doherty was a little superfluous to the team needs.
Yes.
Don't need him in the back line. Mm-hmm. Don't necessarily need him in the midfield and don't necessarily need him on the wings, but he is awesome depth at all three positions.
Correct.
Which is really, really handy.
Yes.
And that is what we will miss.
Yep.
Same with Silvani. Not necessarily the best at anything, but he is depth in forward ruck, forward, pressure, midfield, can go behind the ball.
Mm.
That's what we miss. We miss that versatile piece that can do a lot of different things.
Yes.
That's what sucks. And obviously, Sam Doherty doesn't get to go on this run after. If anyone deserved the luck, it's him.
Mm.
But you saw what Jack Carroll did when he came on. He plays a full game this week. Absolutely, he plays. I don't think we'll get anyone back from injury for this Richmond game, personally. I think they've already put a line through
Maybe Motlop, but I don't think they will.
No, I don't think I don't think Motlop plays this week. I think he plays after the bye. I think the only change is Carroll in, Doherty out. And then the question is, do you give Jackson Binns a run as the debutant?
Yep.
Do you just go more conservative?
I think we go with a Cincotta Larigotta.
Cincotta is probably the more conservative call. But they really like that on baller as a sub.
They do. And you know why I like that? Because it's aggressive. It's an aggressive move. I like the sub being aggressive.
Paddy Dow worked in that role all year.
He did.
Carroll's gone into that sort of Paddy Dow role.
Yep.
Maybe they bring in Cincotta into the team and leave Carroll as the sub.
Potentially, maybe they want to go with a little bit more of aggressive nature in defence. That could be something that they look at too.
You know what was one of my key takeaways, speaking of that?
Talk to me.
Saad, Boyd, Newman, Williams. Does any team have four better kicks coming out of their back line?
Mitch
McGovern as well. Any team have five better kicks coming out of their back line?
How dynamic is that back line?
Yeah.
And we sort of said it coming into the game. We said, you know, Brisbane have got some really good footballers there. They'd be worried about us too. Don't worry about that. That back line is dynamic.
Yep.
Big shout out to Lewis Young and Brody Kemp, who did phenomenal jobs on the weekend.
They were fantastic.
They were brilliant after quarter time. They were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic after quarter time. You got to back the men in. When they haven't played a game yet and we haven't bounced the ball yet, you got to back the men in.
I was worried. Hand up. I was worried.
But the thing is, when Wiedering goes out, naturally you're going to be a little bit dubious as to what the output is going to be for a man like Lewis Young. But they went with him. They backed him in. They said, you're the man. And they did the job.
Mitch McGovern played one of his better games for the Carlton Football Club.
He was fantastic. And a big shout out again to the SNC department, Zach Williams, to come back after, you know, 18 months away from the scene.
He looked fantastic.
His influence was... He peeled off this kick. Matt always dropped the mark. Things were going at a million miles an hour. There was so much pressure in this back line. And he grabbed the ball and out the corner of his eye, he's laced out a 55-metre drop punt to Matt Owies, who dropped the mark. He should have taken the mark. But you cannot underestimate how important that line breaking is, especially with our big talls up front.
The other thing with that is because Williams was in the team, I thought Saad was brilliant. He had 15 disposals. He wasn't a huge factor offensively.
Yep.
But Charlie Cameron beat him once, and that's because he dropped a mark.
I know. He did everything right in that scenario too. So, yeah.
He just dropped the mark. Cameron kicks the goal. He beat Cameron for the second time in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that has gone under the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
He played an incredible self. Remember when the whole thing with the trade was, he doesn't want to defend. Essendon are asking him to defend. He doesn't want to do that.
Jeez, he's been selfless in that role.
He might be the best one-on-one.
I was just going to say,
we've had in a very long
time. Do you ever see him get beaten one-on-one unless he makes the mistake?
Really, yeah.
You pop something up on Twitter with regard to the 50-meter penalty he got.
What a moment
before that
was.
He had to win that battle. He just had to win it.
That was a 2-on-1.
Yep.
If he doesn't win that free kick, Brisbane kick a goal, they go up 35 or something.
Mm-hmm.
We kick the goal. He gets the 50-meter penalty because McCarthy runs in and kicks it. Yep. We go straight down the other end and kick a goal.
Mm.
12-point swing in a game where you're trying to make a huge comeback.
Mm.
That was everything.
Alhamdulillah, Adam Saad, to all our Arabic friends out there. There are the Muslims celebrating. This is the month. I think this is the month of Ramadan.
It is.
So this is going to be a very spiritual month and a month where Saadi and his family will be, they'll be fasting when the sun's up. So this is a very. This is the time of the year where you'll see Adam Saad. I think he's going to have his best patch of form at this point in time because it's a big month for Muslims. So big shout out to all our Muslim brothers and sisters celebrating Ramadan. A big shout out to Saadi.
Question for you.
Yes, talk to me.
Was that our best home and away win since the Port Adelaide game in 2013 that qualified us for finals?
Yeah, yeah, way better than that.
Yeah, our best win since then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's the Teague game against Brisbane.
Yeah. I'll say best win since then. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely no doubt about
it.
And
if you've got any ideas on any better wins we've had since then, please just tweet us.
I can't think.
Untitled Carlton. At Carlton Pod.
Yes. I'll tell you what, Brisbane were fantastic in that first quarter and a bit.
Mate, that's the best quarter of footy I've seen a team play in my life.
They were sensational.
Ball didn't hit the ground.
The way that they picked their way around our zonal defence and the way that they picked their way through our lines, where we were sat in the stadium, it was a beautiful spot on level two. You could see tactically how Brisbane were breaking us down. They were using the width of the ground, using the switch, using the fat side to get our defence out of sync. And they did that brilliantly. My concern was, one, we were going too fast with ball in hand, right? And that's Cripps and Voss made mention of that post-game. And the other thing was we didn't defend aggressively enough, I thought. And our lines broke down.
We went into our shell.
We did. And we were just sort of that half a step too slow. We were half a shoulder behind. We were a little bit flat-footed in that first quarter. And then there was a noticeable change. And I turned to my mate who I was there with, big shout-out to Michael. So about 5 minutes into the second quarter, I just turned to him, and the margin was out to 46 points, whatever the highest it was for the game. And I just turned to him and said, I like what I see. He goes, what do you mean we're down by 7 goals? What are you talking about? I go, no. I can just see there's been a change with the way in which we're defending. We're a lot more aggressive, and we're a lot more on the front foot, if that makes sense. So, Kemp, there was a moment where Brody Kemp, I would have dragged him, where he wasn't aggressive enough on defence. Brisbane picked the ball out from a rebound 50, got out the back and kicked a goal. But after quarter time, what a performance, Pont. What a performance. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Just across the board. The thing in the first quarter was they completely cut off our ability to have any uncontested possessions.
Mm.
We could not stop the ball.
No.
Our kicks were long down the line. Our clearances were hacked over our heads.
Yep.
And they would just turn over, chain it down the field, and put it over our head.
Yep.
The thing that I think got us back into the game was, as you said, slowing down that uncontested ball across the half back line. I think that's what actually got us back into the game.
Calm.
Yeah.
Calm down. Just get your heads in the game. Pick your team, pick apart the defense, and just take it easy. That's work rate. Uncontested possessions is pure work rate, and trying to find your way around opposition press and opposition defense, because opposition defense is now set up as quickly as the game has ever seen. So, big shout out to Charlie, who was sensational in that third term.
I wouldn't say he turned the game, but he was the end product of turning the game.
Boy,
he was the he put it on the scoreboard. That's what superstars do.
You ever seen a player that can play all three roles, small, medium, and tall?
Not like him? That. Not as well as that.
He is. Harry's my favourite player at Carlton, right?
Yep.
I love Harry Mackay. I've always loved him. Charlie Curnow, I don't know if this is even a big statement, he's the best player in the competition.
He's the best player Carlton has had since Peak Judd.
Yeah. He is, when he gets on a rock and roll, he's unstoppable. Absolutely
also,
unstoppable.
Brisbane, Darcy Gardner beat him in the preliminary final. Why are you playing Gardner in this irrelevant forward role?
No idea.
Payne had no idea how to go with
No idea.
And when they didn't make the change until it was too late.
Exactly right.
Can I give a shout out to Ollie Hollins in this? He's copped a bit of flack.
Go on.
He didn't touch the footy in the game.
Doesn't matter.
He averaged. Okay, let me take you through some numbers here.
Come on, Pot. Run us through the
Matt
numbers.
Matt Cottrell covered the most distance on the ground at 15.2 kilometres. Righto, Ollie was right behind him at 15.
Yep, okay.
No Brisbane player got within half a kilometre of either of them.
Yep.
That's impressive. High speed running. No player in the game covered more distance at high speed than Ollie Hollins at 2.5 kilometres.
Mm-hmm.
No player covered the ground more at speed than Ollie Hollins. He averaged 9.1 kilometres across the game, which means he's running the furthest and he's doing it at the highest speed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is pretty incredible. He had the most repeat sprints on the ground, tied with Zach Williams and Blake Akers.
It's a workhorse, mate.
And he averaged 8.5 kilometres per hour running defensively, which
was
the most of any Carlton player.
He's a workhorse, mate. And numbers-wise, you look at his game and you think, you can just look at it on the periphery and say, you didn't have a good game.
Yeah, 4 disposals, away from the game.
Did you see some of those big contests that he had to deal with in the last maybe 10 minutes of the game?
Yeah.
He just had to go. His kicking was a little bit astray.
Because he was exhausted.
But there were moments where he just had to go. He had to put his body on the line. He had to crash through. There were a few moments there where he had to just get the ball over the boundary line, create a stoppage, allow your team to set up. Those little things that people don't see on the stat sheet, that's where you have to watch the game and just gain context into his game. Look, and that they may say, Binns, you're going to come in this week, right? I don't know. I don't think they will, because you look at the performance-based output with regards to his running ability, and eventually the numbers are going to go through the roof for him.
I think he was caught on the wrong side of the ground a lot in terms of the wing role. He was doing a lot of unrewarded running, and I think he was really crucial structurally in what happened in that game, and his numbers don't reflect that on the stat sheet. And watching it in the moment, you go, he's had 5 disposals. You don't really think much of it. But when you watch the replay and then when you see the numbers like that, like if you're Vossi, you'd be absolutely getting around him. And that is just beyond elite running. Like there are a few players in the comp who can run like that, and he's not even anywhere near his peak yet.
No. And the one thing I also wanted to mention too, and we'll go through our 5-4-3-2-1 votes. Have you got those?
Yeah.
Up on your end, yep. We had a few come through as well, which was great to see. So my 5-4-3-2-1 are a little bit interesting because I actually thought our players best on outside of Harry Mackay, I thought George Hewitt was by far the standout in midfield. I thought his preseason has been absolutely sensational, and I loved his game, and I was a big rap for Lachie Fogarty.
9 tackles.
Thought he was magnificent.
Got a couple of coaches' votes.
Yep, I thought he was great.
Yep.
Just based on what that role needs, I thought he was sensational. So he well and truly got in my votes. But we'll start with you, Pont. You can fire away your 5-4-3-2-1, sir, and then I'll fire away my 5-4-3-2-1.
5 Harry, I think that goes without saying.
Yep.
4 Charlie, he was the end result of a lot of... He got us back into the game with his finishing.
Harry and Charlie, 5-4. Boring.
I've got Cripps 3.
I thought he was phenomenal
around the ground, setting the tone.
Yep.
I think, I know he didn't get any coaches' votes. Personally, I thought he was just fantastic.
Mm.
Hewitt 2.
Yep.
And one is a tough one.
Well, you're umming and ahhing now, are you?
I'll give Mitch McGovern the one.
Ah, okay.
I thought he was outstanding.
Yep, okay. I like that. So my 5 was to George Hewitt. My 4 was to Harry Mackay. My 3 was to Lachie Fogarty. My 2 was to Adam Chera.
Okay.
I thought he showed some real grit and determination. He did some things I really liked. There was a little bit iffy ball in hand on a few occasions, but I really liked his game. And I gave one vote. I gave a bit of love to Zach Williams.
Fair enough.
A number 6. Great comeback from him. And really like what I saw. So 5 Hewitt, 4 Mackay, 3 Fogarty, 2 Chera, 1 Williams. You're going to have to make a spreadsheet for our... What are we calling it, by the way?
The Untitled Award.
The Untitled...
We'll work it out.
Carlton Best and Fairest.
We've got 24 weeks to work it out.
What are we going to give the winner? Who knows? Maybe they can come in.
Well, we need a sponsor first.
Yeah.
If you want to sponsor this podcast,
wink, wink.
Please DM me or Paul on
wink,
Twitter.
Wink, 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 wink. All right, so Brisbane game done and dusted. Let's move on to what's to come this Thursday night at the MCG. The Prez said they're expecting about 90,000 at the ground, which is fantastic to hear. It's probably going to be a sellout if it isn't already by the time this podcast goes up.
Richmond do get a few back. Nankervis, Martin and Lynch.
Yeah, what the hell?
Potentially lining up.
Oh, we won't play them in opening round because we want to get them right for the Carlton game.
That's okay. Screw it doesn't you, matter. Richmond. No, that's okay. This, yeah, those three players are huge ins for them. Yep. But we've had the massive Gabba win. We've got the belief. We've got the home crowd advantage. We got the freshness in the legs, and I know Doherty comes out, but we'll be able to replace his output hopefully. And I think Carlton will win. I think Carlton will win by 22 points.
Yeah, I think about the same. Yep. Carroll replaces Doherty in the 22. I would debut Moya or Binns as the sub.
Yep,
probably Binns. I think Binns is probably
deserved.
He deserves an opportunity.
Yep,
he was awesome last year.
Mm.
Bring him in as the sub. Bring him on for one of those mids in the third quarter. Probably Carroll as we saw last week.
Yep.
I think stick with the winning formula
and
then reassess post buy. You know what happens when Wietering, Walsh, Marchbank, McGovern, Martin. These blokes are all available.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. I think Richmond are going to be far better than they were against Gold Coast because of those three major ins.
And these games are always weird.
Yeah.
It didn't matter where Richmond and Carlton were on the ladder.
These games are always weird. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's go into this game. I just urge supporters and urge fans and whatnot, just go into this game humble. Go into this game with a level head. Go into this game expecting that it's going to be a tough one. The coaches and players will be expecting that. But we've got the belief now after what happened last week. And if they can do what they did last week throughout the whole year, there's no reason that they can't believe they should be going very, very deep into the season. So I'm really looking forward to this game. We know Tom Lynch has sometimes been able to get a hold of us.
Lewis Young probably gets that matchup.
Yeah, he will. But he's got the belief now.
He's got the size and the strength.
Yep. He's got the belief that he'll be able to get on the front foot and beat a bloke who's missed since round four last season.
McGovern probably gets Bolter. They're sort of the same size.
They'll be alternating between the two. Kemp will play a spare at one time, and McGovern will play the spare at one time. It's all about communication.
Curious that Shai Bolden played pure forward, had eight disposals, kicked three goals. Yep. So you think that's the Saad matchup?
Potentially, yeah.
I think that's probably a good profile matchup.
Yep. But it's all about the source, though. You've got to control the ball at the source. We conceded over 60 inside 50s against Brisbane.
And Melbourne the week before.
Correct, exactly right. So that's a little... Look, it's not a massive worry when you defend as well as we did after quarter time against Brisbane. But Brisbane did miss a few opportunities. Having said that, that's what pressure does, Pont.
Yep.
That's what pressure does. So right.
And look, obviously Richmond's midfield was bashed by Gold Coast.
Yeah, they were. They
Matt Rowell won 20 clearances.
Yeah, yeah. Second most in AFL history since the data was recorded. Yeah,
you would hope that if that trend continues and we get that level of supply through the midfield, that we will be tough to beat.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be one of those games where we keep Richmond at arm's length.
Mm.
I don't think we're absolutely going to smash them. But having said that, I think it will be a fairly cushy victory, but Richmond will trouble us.
They will.
Richmond will trouble us for a little bit. You know, they're still a decent enough football team to give us some headaches, but I think we've got enough there to be able to cover off what they should dish up to us. So we've got a lot of star factor in that team, and we've got a lot of, I say job doers. They're all job doers to a point, clearly, but just stick to the basics, stick to what you know, hard at the contest and pressure. That's the two. That's the one plus one for Michael Voss.
That's it.
Contest and pressure equals performance.
I'll be working the game for SEN, so keep an eye on the website for we'll be doing grades for each player after the
Fantastic.
Game.
Fantastic, yep.
I'll definitely get a few wrong. Please DM me on Twitter and tell me that I've got a few wrong.
Hey, whatever it is, mate. You know what you need to do? I've got a bugbear. I've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, no.
You need to stop following dodgy accounts on the Carlton pod.
What have I done?
We keep getting these, I'm so saucy right now for you, Hi, it's Maisie. I'm really kinky. Hey, usually I want to join
you. All I've done is followed everyone who has followed us back.
No, you don't do that. You got to look
Our
into the accounts,
fans
mate.
Who have mate, given us a follow.
We've had messages. We've had a cat with the love heart eyes.
Oh, yeah. There's three of them here.
I've just taken a photo for you. What's going on, Pont, mate?
Delete.
Mate, get rid of them.
Delete.
No good.
Well, sorry, Alyssa, but we're not in. Unless you want to email us about Lockie Fogarty, we don't really care.
So you got to be. I had to get you on that one there.
You can't avoid the spam bots on Twitter.
No. You can't. You can't. Just make sure we're not following them. But what you can do is you can go to Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, and you can type in @CarltonPod. Still got no idea how that handle has not been used yet, but we've taken it.
We've taken it.
Let us know what you think. We had a few 5, 4, 3, 2, 1s, which maybe can we just roll through those before we finish things up? We'll just give them a bit of love.
If you're listening to us for the first time through the Carlton Show feed, obviously We're thankful to Andy for letting us use the feed for this show. Obviously, Luke Sayers on the show, we wanted as many Carlton fans to be able to hear it and access it as possible.
Yep.
So thank you to Andy for letting us use the feed.
Thank you.
Please go and we're over on the SEN Overnight Crowd feed. We're going to have our own feed shortly.
Oh, yes.
Just follow us there. Follow us on Twitter so that you can stay up to date with our drops
indeed.
Of this website.
Indeed.
Of this website, of this podcast.
Yes.
And yeah, we are thankful for everyone who tunes in. It has been, it is growing quickly.
It is, isn't it? It's sort of quickly. Blown up a bit. it's fantastic, mate.
And hopefully the Prez helps us go further.
Yes, exactly right. This is what it's all about. Stronger together, mate. Stronger together. So Professor Ricky Spencer, he's gone Harry Cripps, Charlie McGovern and Hewitt as his 5-4-3-2-1. Tim W at Blue Irons, Harry Cripps, Charlie Akers and Hewitt as his 5-4-3-2-1. The protected area, he's got a profile picture of Robbie Williams on his Twitter. Harry Cripps, Charlie Govan, TDK as his 5-4-3-2-1. Big shout out to Christian Sorace. Sorace boy 458. Cripps, Harry, Charlie, Fogarty and Hewitt. Sal's gone with Cripps, Harry Williams, Charlie, Blake Akers. Will Dix has gone with Cripps, Harry, Charlie. He's given two to Carroll.
I like it. He turned the game.
Been a love to Jack Carroll. We like that. And Matthew, as a party, has gone Harry, Cripps, Hewitt, Charlie, McGovern with a special mention to Jackie Carroll.
Yeah, so, shout out Jack Carroll.
There's a few more. Actually, I've got three. You know what? I've got three more I can get through. Richie's gone Harry, Cripper, Gov, Foggs, Charlie. Paddy K's gone Harry, Charlie, Cripper, Hewitt, Sard. Damien Redd has gone Harry, Cripps, Hewitt, Harry, Cripps, Hewitt, Carroll, Kerno. And Norm, the plume, has gone Cripper, Harry, Fogg, Charlie, and TDK in that order. So I think we're done and dusted, mate.
I think we are, yeah.
We've nearly hit the hour mark, which is sensational.
I just had to extend my parking.
They're like vultures out there, those parking officers. Yeah. I'll give you the tip. Make sure you follow us at Carlton Pod. Follow Nick on his social pages at Nick Negropontis. You can follow me. Just type in Paul Sebastiani on Twitter or go at PaulOSeb05, at PAOLOSEB05. If you've got any questions, any comments, please feel free to leave them on the link when we post it out. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. We definitely enjoyed the Carlton win last Friday night, and here's to another one on Thursday night. Just your quick final prediction for Thursday night.
Yeah, Carlton by 4 goals.
Carlton by 4 goals. I'm going Carlton by 22 points. That was the second official edition, I think, for the season, anyway, of the unofficial Carlton podcast. We will be with you next week.
And
see you
guys. Thank you again to Luke Sayers.
Thank you again to the Carlton president. Thank you to Will, the media manager, for organising all of that. And thank you to Lockie Joseph and Big Tez, who came up with the best questions in the audience. Love you all, guys. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
31 and a half gone in the final quarter. They throw it up. What goes down? It's all over. It's a phenomenal win from Carlton.
From the football gods.